I wanted to also extend a congratulations to you since you're the official representative this morning for me and the Dutch community in this town. Your Netherlands team, they advanced in the World Cup. I don't know if you care soccer, but they win their group.
The Orangemen won.
They
yes.
did. They did. Also pretty cool coming from your home country. A Dutch company invented the world's first electronic joint.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Dutch manufacturers EN Joint BV claim the E electronic cigarette spinoff is harmless because it contains no tobacco or nicotine. Now, it's shaped like a real joint. It's white, and it has little green kind of like wavy marks on it. And on the front, it's got the classic pot leaf, and it glows green every time a person takes a puff. And the CEO of the E-Joint company said that Holland is well known for the world for its tolerance and liberal attitude towards soft drugs, quote-unquote. And the introduction of this new product clearly makes a statement, and he went on to say, as long as you don't bother or disturb other people and stay within the legal boundaries, all is well. Everyone should feel fine because what we are doing is no crime. You can get several different flute flavors of this electronic joint, too. So you can get high off of apple and banana and strawberry, just to name a few.
Okay, but just because it doesn't have nicotine in it, it's okay.
That's what
it
says.
That's the only thing that's harmful to us. Okay, I'll remember that.
Well, I think that was a good segue. Although, granted, it's electronic. What we go from one leaf to another leaf.
That's right.
You brought in a couple of leaves this morning.
Well, coming into the office this morning, I noticed that you have a bush outside. Looks like a viburnum bush of some sort, and they're nice green glossy leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And the new leaves are all looking like this.
Well, see, the thing is, that other leaf, the green one, the gloss, that actually almost looks fake. It's so glossy, even though that's healthy.
This is a nice, healthy leaf, even though when I picked it off, there was a little caterpillar on it, but I did just kind of knock that off. Okay.
Just flicked them away.
Just flicked it right off.
All right, get out of here, buddy.
The other leaf is yellow with dark green veins in it. And this is just like the perfect example of chlorosis. There isn't enough iron in the soil for this.
So we've got an iron deficient.
You have an iron deficient plant. You have an anemic plant outside, and that's kind of what happens this time of year.
So I need to go tell Kevin we need to buy iron spread or something.
Maybe a fertilizer that has some iron in it, or there's just plain iron that you can put down to help that. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good knowledge. I'm glad that you brought that to our attention because that is certainly the most pressing thing.
Yeah. Well, I know it probably really bothers you every time you come in since you never even noticed the bush before.
I come in the back. We got no plants out there. Are you kidding me? We got wood steps that need to be repaired, but that's about it. Good morning. You're on WHTC. What's your name?
Morning, kids. It's Randy here.
Hi, Randy.
What do you use for blossom end rot jam?
Oh, there actually is a spray that you can spray on your tomatoes or your peppers.
What's it called?
Blossom end rot spray, actually.
Where do you get it?
We have, excuse me, I know we have it at DeBrine's.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Is it something you got to mix or just
no, it you just spray it right on the plants.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Real good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate the call.
He's anticipating because a lot of times you get those first tomatoes and the bottom half looks all rotten. That's a calcium deficiency, actually. Yeah. And the blossom end rot spray will help with that.
I love how he said, where do you get it? Oh, Family Farm and Fleet, not DeBrine's.
Well, we do carry that at DeBrine's.
I'm not making fun of him, but it would have been funny if he was like, well, we have it, but you can go to Family Farm and Fleet if you want. You got a nice little packet this morning of, like you do every day, but you've got two pages instead of one.
I know, I just decided to go overboard this morning.
Well, we've got a lot of different things to talk about, kind of a carryover from last week. This is problem time of the year. Why is it problem time of the year?
The bugs are out, and it's hot and humid weather, so the diseases are starting to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's everyone's bringing in leaves. They're bringing in samples of everything. They need it identified so they can treat it. So, yes, problem time of year has come. If your garden or your landscape area or even your lawn is prone to some sort of fungal disease, I would think about putting a fungicide down now. The hot, humid weather will put the plants under stress, and they will They will come down with something.
Now, I have to address this, and I know some people may not be happy that I'm talking about this story, but I do want to ask you, and you're definitely not an expert, but there's this health story that shows there's a link between autism and pesticide. Did you hear about this?
I did read that, yeah.
A study suggests a link between pesticides and autism. This is out of the University of California. Now, the researcher, Mr. Davis, found that pregnant mothers who live close to fields treated with certain pesticides were more likely to have certain kinds of autism. Now, the later the pesticides exposures happen in the pregnancy, the greater the risk. Researchers at University of California, Davis, not Mr. Davis. I messed that up. But they say methods need to be developed that will limit pesticide exposure, especially for the very young. Now, I don't know if you guys have pesticides that are the kind that big farmers use, but you certainly want to be careful with them.
Basically, you need a license to buy those sorts of things.
Okay.
So, that's not what you get in your at the grocery store or at DeBrine's.
Okay, so you're not going to get any autism-causing pesticides.
No, but you would think then farmers would have more autistic children than anybody else.
Yeah, you would think that.
There must be other things in there.
It's an interesting study, and I put a grain of salt on the story because we talk on Wednesdays with Diane Lowe, mm-hmm. Farmer here, big farming personality in this community, and we talk a lot about how there's a lot of good intentions, but necessarily possibly scare tactic stuff out there, like, ooh, pesticides are bad, but it saves the crops, so. And I don't want to dive into a political discussion.
But people kind of disconnect that from their real life, too. I mean, they come into DeBrine's all upset because they saw an ant mound, and they'll use 20 pounds of insecticide to get rid of ants.
Mm.
And you're like, no, really? Let's let us be reasonable here.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Well, then there's got to be both sides to everything, I think. So.
Yes.
I like what you put on here. What's been eating my blank?
Yes. Because that's what
you
we
fill that with a
getting.
Lot of answers, couldn't you?
Yes, because they bring in these leaves and they're not sure, and it's like giving me a plate without.
What does this bite mark look
yeah,
like?
Yeah, well, who ate off this plate? And sometimes it's kind of hard to tell. Some insects leave very distinct, of what they've left. Like if there's holes in the middle of the leaves, like of hostas, you can pretty much bet that's going to be slugs.
Sure.
The whole, whole thing is eaten off, probably deer, mm-hmm. A couple just, blossoms or a couple leaves eaten off, probably just like a rabbit.
Okay.
But, if the kind of this, there's some structure left of the leaf, you can still see some there, and the red, it's turning brown, that's probably some sort of insect. So you kind of, and if it's just the outside of the leaf being eaten, probably a caterpillar. So there's different ways of kind of telling what they are, but not 100% unless you can actually see them eating, or if you actually bring in a bug that we can identify, that always helps.
You get some real curveball questions when people come in.
Yes, we do.
What's some of the crazies, not necessarily crazy, but what's some of the more difficult questions you've received over the years? If you had to think of one that stood out, like, wow, I either have no idea or this is just so bizarre.
People will bring you like one little teeny tiny leaf. Like maybe a half inch long of mm-hmm. something that's just starting to come out of the ground.
Okay.
And most seedlings all look alike. And they'll want to know what it is. And you're just like, wow. And that just happens over and over again. I just really need to have a little bit more. Or they bring just a leaf of a tree in. But, they don't have any explanation of what the bark looked like, whether this is a single leaf, whether this is, comes in, a compound leaf. All those kind of things, you need the whole picture, let's put it that way. That does help us a lot when we're identifying. So when you do bring some stuff in, not just a little tiny leaf, bring more of a suggestive sample, especially pine trees.
Sure.
They'll bring in a couple of needles, and it's really hard to tell. It could be, well, it just got dried up, or it could be from some sort of galls or something, but I really need to see the whole branch this was on. And yeah, So that we do really need to.
So you need a larger example. Is
a large example is always good.
Okay.
But then we have these people that bring in these huge samples, which.
You didn't need to bring the whole Christmas tree.
Yes,
it's okay.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I'll just go outside and look at that. Yes.
Yeah. You didn't have to de-root the redwood. We could have gone to your house, you know.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Some people, like if, you know, your tomato plants are young or any plants are young and all of a sudden the next morning you go out and they've just been snapped off, probably cutworms were there. You've got some clues of, you know, if you could kind of give me where the things are located and kind of give me a background of,
sure.
of everything, that does help me out.
What are some things that we can do in our garden right now?
Actually, you can still plant beans. That's not a problem. Cucumbers, some squash can go in. There's still stuff you can put in. It's mainly right now weeding time. Keep those weeds out of the garden. They do take nutrients out of the soil that should go to your plants. So keep them weeded. Right now, it's getting almost too wet and soggy. The roots of the plants don't like to be in water, so if you can kind of get some of the water out of the garden, that would be good. I don't know how you're going to do that, but good luck. Hope for sunshine is my big thing right now, because I'm thinking my beans might have drowned already.
Well, we're getting some sunshine tomorrow.
Good.
I don't know if it's
going to be good enough, but that's good.
And then Thursday and Friday should be dry and sunny.
Yes.
So I don't know about this weekend. I can't guarantee that. And it's, you know, how many days ahead of Tuesday, so
yeah.
It's going to be not accurate at all, whatever I say. So,
yeah.
But that's just the way it is.
Well, Ken did want to remind people that we're having a big summer sale on Milorganite through July 4th, and it's $6.99 a bag. There's no limit of how many bags you need to buy. $6.99 a bag is a great deal. Season-long grub control with Merit is something you need to apply now and get it watered in well. The grain is helping with that. But there's mail-in rebates that if you buy four bags, they're $17.98 each. You buy four bags, there's a mail-in rebate for $40 on that. So
that's nice.
Yeah. So if you need to put it down, you've got grub problems or beetle problems, this is the time of year to do it. And Nutro is having a big sale on their dog food right now. There's a $10 instant rebate on your 15-pound dog food.
Your dog's still eating all the dog treats at DeBrine's? Or did you guys remove the dog treats from the floor?
She'll...
That's not a good response. I am assuming this is a problem.
They sit by the dog treats, and they beg. And the people come in, and, oh, the poor dog.
And they buy a dog treat.
And they buy dog treats for them. Please, don't buy the store dogs at DeBrine's any treats. They really are well-fed animals. And they have a tendency to get a little fat, even.
We got time for one more call before we have to break. Good morning. What's your name?
I'm Corrine, and I wondered what kind of fertilizer maybe I should put around my plants. Now, I've put nothing except a little bit of Miracle-Gro, my tomatoes and squash, and does she recommend just an all-around fertilizer to put around them to encourage growth?
Actually, yes, it would be a good thing to do that right now. Miracle-Gro is good. You just have to remember to keep doing that about every 10 days to 2 weeks during the summer. If you want to supplement that with something like Espoma makes a garden tone, they've got everything from a 4-pound bag to a 40-pound bag in that, so depending on how big your garden is. That just kind of helps boost it up, and it's got a lot of micronutrients and iron in it, so that's something to think about also.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Jan. I appreciate you talking about plants and gardening and bugs and all different types of goodies available at DeBrine's. And I think the takeaway is bring in a branch, not pine needles, but not the whole tree. That needs to be a happy medium.
Yes, a happy medium here.